Praise God. Find your way to 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. I want to talk to you this morning about encouragement. Need a Bible? We have those. I had there was a guy with us years back, had a military background, just a really tough dude, and he told me one time he didn't need to be encouraged. Didn't need encouragement. But everybody needs encouragement. We all need to be patted on the back once in a while, no matter how tough it seems. You know, some people, they don't show it much. Even when you do encourage them, they don't show it much. But still, we all need encouraging. Diane and I think Bill and Wendy were with us, too. We were in, we went to Florida to a set of meetings down there because Dr. Lemon was there. And he invited us to come be part of it. And Bryn Jones was there. That was when I met. I was sitting at breakfast, and Phil Rizzuto came up and tapped me on the shoulder and said hi. And then I passed out and got back up. I'm a Yankees fan, so. Yeah, I had a shirt on that, a Yankees name on there. So he asked me what I was doing there and why I wasn't over in spring training. I wanted to go to spring training, but that's another story for another time. But anyway, I was talking with Dr. Lemon, and Bryn Jones came over and said two words. He said to Dr. Lemon, "True son." Things like that, you know, resound with you for a long time. Just a few words or a pat on your back, just encouragement. We all need that from time to time, and unfortunately, it's not what we always get, but that's what we need. I think that the best thing to have is somebody around you who will give you a good combination of challenge and comfort, because sometimes we need to do a good kick in the seat of the pants. I heard that, amen. And sometimes we need a pat on the back. That's when she amens. I knew that was coming. Isn't it true, though? Sometimes you just need somebody to say, "Come on, get going, you can do it." And other times you need to say, you need somebody to say, you're doing a good job. The thing of it is, we seem to be a lot of times surrounded by critics and whiners. You notice that even when you go to a restaurant, sometimes they hand you a wine list. Dylan, where are you? I need a little dum-dum on that one. But, you know, here's the truth. You're not always going to get what you need. There's going to be times when you really could use a pat on the back, and as far as anybody on the outside is concerned, you ain't going to get one. So, you know, that's kind of what we want to talk about. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. The New Living Translation said it this way: "So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing." Encourage each other and build each other up just as you're already doing. That's a good testimony as a church to have. You're encouraging each other and building each other up. You know, the New Testament uses the word exhort a lot of times, and exhort is one of those words that's a combination of comfort and challenge. Sometimes it's a little prodding. Come on, keep moving forward. Don't stop here. There's no place to stop. You need physical rest and so on. But as far as overall is concerned, we're going to get some good rest when we get to heaven. So in this life, we need to be pressing forward and going forward. That's not always what we're going to get. Somewhere we came across the term, the letters EGR, which stands for extra grace required. Some people that we hang around are going to be those kind of people. We need all God's grace that we can get to just get to that place where we can hang around them and try to be encouraging to them, because they're not going to be encouraging to us. There's a man, you don't have to look at the scriptures, but in 2 Samuel 15 and 16 and 1 Chronicles 27, It talks about this man called Ahithophel. Everybody say Ahithophel. Ooh, you got it on me. And that was his. He was a counselor to King David. His name, interesting enough, means my brother is foolish. I'm not sure what his relationship with his brother was, but apparently it wasn't good. But he was a counselor to David, and a wise counselor. He was known for his wise counsel. But when David, when David's son Absalom rose up and threatened David, and David, rather than wanting to fight against him, left the city and so on, Ahithophel went over with Absalom. And I didn't realize this before, but I was studying this out this week and found out Ahithophel was Bathsheba's grandfather. I think there was something going on behind the scenes there. I think maybe, I didn't read it that way, but reading between the lines, I think maybe Ahithophel had a attitude towards David. And when the time came, he jumped to the other side, and then he gave counsel to Absalom. And his counsel turned sour. And when Absalom was overthrown, he went back home and killed himself. But the thing of it is, sometimes the people that counseled us, sometimes the people that maybe even seeming to encourage us have really not our best interest at heart. But you know, there's one being that's going to encourage you and will always have your best interest at heart, and that's Father God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. It's always going to want to point us in the right direction and be on our side. And sometimes encouragers aren't really encouraging at all. 1 Samuel, chapter 30. David is not yet, he's anointed as king, but not yet crowned as king. And think about the things that have been happening in David's life up to this point. Think about this. David, when Samuel was sent to find the one that God was going to anoint for king, now that Saul had messed up, and his dad, David's dad, showed him all the other guys and didn't even think about sending for David. As far as his dad was concerned, he wasn't the one. There wasn't a lot of encouragement from his dad, but Samuel knew that that wasn't the one. And you know, then when Scripture comes out that God doesn't look on the outward appearance, he looks on the heart. And he saw some good things in David and had Samuel anoint him as king. But in the process of time there, you know, a lot of things happened in both directions. He had a wonderful victory over Goliath that we were talking about recently. But he lost favor with King Saul even after that. King Saul was jealous and didn't like with the things that were happening. People were singing about David and the great things that he had done, and King Saul didn't like that. And so even to the point of trying to kill him, he had a great friendship with Jonathan. You know, good things are happening. He had to hide from the king. His mentor in the process of time, the prophet Samuel, had died. That had to be difficult. He was hiding from the king. He spared the king's life two times. Remember that? There was King Saul right there. He could have taken his life and kind of usurped himself to the throne, but he was wise enough to know that wasn't the thing to do. He said, "Don't touch the Lord's anointed." He was forced to live with the Philistines, and that's what we're coming up to here in chapter 30. He couldn't live amongst the children of Israel because of King Saul's threats, so he had to move out, and he was living in a town called Ziklag. But in the process of time, he was still fighting God's battles. He was still out there fighting against the enemy, sometimes in a sneaky way because he's living with the enemy and fighting the enemy, and interesting things are happening. And he comes back one day to Ziklag after winning another battle, Actually, he went out and defeated the Amalekites, which that's what Saul was supposed to do. Remember, God sent Saul, said, wipe them all out, kill them all. But he said, well, I kept the best ones and made excuses, and that's what was the beginning of his downfall. But David went out and did what was supposed to be done, what somebody else had failed to do, he went out to do, and he came back, and the city is burned to the ground, and all the wives and children are taken captive, including David's wives and children, and it's not a good day. And then we read in verse 6, 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. Talk about having a bad day. I don't know, what was going on in your life the last time you said, I'm having a bad day? I bet it wasn't near as bad as the day that David was having at this particular time. It's bad enough that his wives are gone, the city's burned down, all the stuff is gone. But then his own people are mad at him, and they're going to, talking about stoning them. And it happens that way a lot of times, that when things don't go well, take it out on the leader, take it out on the boss, take it out on who's running this show anyway, instead of bring whatever responsibility we need to bring back to ourselves and look at ourselves and see what's happening from there. Here's some other translations. The King James Bible, it says strengthened here in the New King James. And the King James Bible says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. The Amplified said he encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord his God. New Living Translation says, David found strength in the Lord his God. The Message says, David strengthened himself with trust in his God. He strengthened himself with trust in his God. To strengthen means to put forth strength, to withstand, to hold strongly with. To put forth strength, to withstand, to hold strongly with. That would be the time to hold strongly with. Unfortunately, a lot of times it's not the time that we hold strongly with. The sentence finishes by with the Lord is God. This is the time when people do lots of other things. When we have done lots of other things, if we be honest with ourselves. But it's the time to hold strongly with. I wish I could say to you that you're not going to have any opportunities to encourage yourself in the Lord. But I think I can say the other way. You're going to have opportunities to encourage yourself in the Lord. So you're going to have to be willing to do that. Nobody was encouraging David. Nobody was coming up and patting him on his back. Remember, he was, even the one of the women he was married to, who wouldn't have been there at the time, was not an encourager anyway. Even when he was doing great things for God, she would discourage him. Sometimes the people that are closest to you are just not going to do it. And if the group of people is going through a difficult time all at the same time, they're not liable to do it. So somebody's going to have to get up and say, encourage himself in the Lord, and then start encouraging everybody else. We can do it. We can pull out of here. We can move forward. We can win. If we'd be honest with ourselves, if we think back to times in our life, there were times we didn't think we were going to make it to the next day. We didn't think we were going to survive, and yet here we are. Sometimes years later, worked out. But at the time, man, we were ready to head on. If anybody's getting a trip to heaven, this would be a good time to do it. Let's go today. And it's not that it's not that the times weren't difficult. We've all of us faced some difficult times. I don't know. Maybe some of you are in the middle of some difficult times right now. But what you can do is encourage yourself in the Lord, because you're going to make it. If I can encourage you, you're going to make it. It's going to be all right. You'll get through this. Don't give up. Don't quit. Keep moving on. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Now, God saw some things in David. We saw even from the beginning when he anointed him as king, when he's just this little runt watching the sheep. And his father didn't have much encouragement for him, but God saw something. I think there's two particular things we can say about David. Look up these scriptures, Psalm 119 and Psalm 138. When you're this kind of person, I think you're more likely to be able to encourage yourself in the Lord. You know, sometimes it's good to do your homework ahead of time, be prepared. Amen? Psalm 119, verse 78. Longest chapter in the Bible is mostly about the Word of God and how much David loved the Word. Psalm 119, 78. Let the proud be ashamed, for they treat me wrongfully with falsehood, but I will meditate on your precepts. David was a meditator in the Word of God. He imagined it. He used his spiritual imagination. He thought about God. He thought about his Word. When he's out there watching the sheep, apparently he had lots of time, and he meditated on the things of God. And as that, when he found himself in this awful situation, he strengthened himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord instead of giving up and quitting. I mean, think about that. You know, the king at the time is trying to kill you. The enemy has come. Another enemy has come and taken all your stuff, taken your wife, your kids are gone. You're supposed to be king, you know, next king of Israel, and it's looking less and less like that's going to happen every day. Anybody relate to that? You know, it's something you know is supposed to happen, but it looks less and less like it's going to happen every day. And in the midst of all that, because he was a meditator, he turned to God and he held on to God. Now look at chapter 138 in verse 2. Here's how the Amplified says it, 138:2 in Psalms. I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and for your truth and faithfulness. For you have exalted above all else your name and your word, and you have magnified your word above all your name. Some translations say above all your fame. So the word is magnified, but what I really wanted you to see there is those first three words in the Amplified. I will worship. As a worshiper, he turned to God. That's what worshipers do. Amen? Well, it doesn't look good today, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to worship, because that's what I do. When you're used to being that way all the time, then when difficult times come, you're not looking for something different. You're looking for what you do. Amen? You don't, and listen, you don't thank God for the problems, because he's not the problem causer. He doesn't cause our problems. You thank God in the problems, because he's the one that will get you out, praise God. And you move forward. You know he got you this far, and he didn't bring you this far to leave you. He didn't bring you half across the lake to drown. He didn't bring you across the desert to leave you there. He's leading you forward. He's not the desert. He's the one leading you through, praise God. He's not the wilderness. He's the one leading you through. You don't have to expect, well, God's going to bring me through wilderness experiences. You're going to have your opportunities, but God is leading you on to better things, praise God. God is leading you to an abundant life. But, you know, worshipers and meditators in the things of God are just going to be more likely to make good choices. And we also see here about David in the situation, in almost every situation, he didn't get offended. Would you have been a little offended? Listen, I'm not the problem here. I didn't steal your wives. I didn't burn the city down. I was out there doing what God told me to do. Sometimes you can be doing what God's telling you to do and still have challenges. How many found that to be true? But we need to get out there and make a good choice and move forward, not be offended. But that's not the choice that a lot of people make. Let's be honest, most of us have chosen something else over a period of time. Nobody had to threaten to stone us. We just even if we just didn't get the pat on the back that we really thought we deserved. That people had a attitude for a long time just because you missed an opportunity to say thanks, or they really wanted something they didn't get. Feel sorry for themselves. And then it starts with the blame game, and then some people start falling back instead of moving forward. You see it sometimes in church, you know, they were sitting in the second row, and now they're in the fourth row, and then it's the sixth row, and then they're all the way in the back, and then they aren't there at all. And it usually started with some kind of offense. Didn't do things the way that they thought they should be done, or nothing against anybody in the back row, by the way. But, it's strict. Some people started in the back row, and they're still there, praise God. It's about moving away from the things of God, moving away from what God's told us to do because of difficult times or because nobody patted me in the back, nobody thanked me for what I did. But again, you know, if you turn to God, I think you would feel His appreciation for continuing to move forward and not giving up, not quitting. Sometimes because of offenses, we do keep moving forward, but we're just going through the motions. There's a lot of going through the motions. Let's be honest. A lot about being honest this morning. I've been there too, where I know I can't quit. That wouldn't be the thing to do, but I'm just kind of going through the motions. Well, not much valuable gets done when we're going through the motions. If you ever work with somebody who's going through the motions, and they're supposed to be doing their job, and you end up having to do theirs too because they're going through the motions. They're not really producing anything. He turned to the Lord his God. Again, in Psalm 40. Some scholars say David might have written this psalm in the midst of what we read about in 1 Samuel 30. Psalm 40, verse 1, is the Amplified again. I waited patiently and expectantly for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up out of a horrible pit, a pit of tumult and destruction, out of the miry clay from froth and slime, and set my feet upon a rock, steadying my steps and establishing my goings. And He has put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many shall see and fear and revere and worship and put their trust and confident reliance in the Lord. If He did, that was a great time to write that psalm, wasn't it? He turned to the Lord his God. He was going through a difficult time, and he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. It's one thing to encourage yourself. It's another thing to encourage yourself in the Lord your God. You see that there's a difference. You know, if you're just encouraging yourself in yourself, that'll help, but it won't last that long. But if you encourage yourself in the Lord your God, now you're doing something that's going to help you over the long period of it, really help you move forward. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. If you even just stop and think who God is, you can encourage yourself in the Lord your God. Is He big enough to get you out of where you are? Yeah. Does He care enough to get you out where you are? Yeah. Praise God. One of the most wonderful scriptures at the end of Romans chapter 8. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. And there's a whole list of things that something we might think could before that, and, you know, life and death and angels and demons and all kinds of things, but nothing. Listen, even you messing up cannot separate you from the Lord your God. Fall flat on your face and do everything wrong all day long, and still nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus your Lord. And then in 1 John it says, perfect love casts out all fear. So when you put those together, then there's a good reason to encourage yourself in the Lord your God. Now, back in 1 Samuel 30, verse 7 and 8, I'll give you time to get back there again. You know, I hope, my hope would be Jesus tarries and I'm out of here, that the legacy would be he was an encourager. I think that's a good testimony we could have, don't you? Verse 7 and 8, and David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod out here. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. And David inquired the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered, God answered, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Now, the point I want to make here is this. He looked for direction from God. The ephod had a breastplate on it, and the breastplate would have had the Urim and the Thummim. Say that three times fast. And it actually was sort of like a red light, green light. And you'd ask God a question, and the answer would come by one of those lighting up. And there's a lot of good points in there, too. If you think about it, we should be asking, when you ask God, it's easier to hear yes or no than it is to hear, well, go down the road seven steps, and you know, I'm going to go this way, yes or no. That it's easier to hear that. Even back, all the way back to one of the prophets that was here was saying that. It's easier to ask God, easier to hear God say yes or God say no than it is to hear a long diatribe of what you should do. Although sometimes we need that too. But when you're a worshiper and a meditator, you know, all those things are easier. But he went to God and said, well, you know, where do we go from here? What should we do? Sometimes in the midst of a difficult situation, you know, we pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and we decide this is what we're going to do without checking with God. And then we make the thing worse. I'm going to get me out of here. You know, probably different temperaments particularly are more likely to roll up their sleeves and just barge on through. Bull in a china closet kind of thing. And then everything gets broken up and it takes even more effort to get everything straightened out. So it's worth it to stop and say, all right, Father, here we are. This is where I am. What do I do from here? How do I get out of here? We can break it down into three things that he was told. Pursue, overtake, and recover all. Praise God. There really is no loss in God. Because you can pursue and overtake and recover all. The word pursue means to chase, to dog, to attend closely upon, to aim to secure. I guess maybe we could say, don't give up. Well, I guess we lost this one. You know, you can, after a while, because of difficult times, you can face life with the attitude, you win some, you lose some, and some get rained out. But I don't think that's what God had in mind for us. God had in mind for us to win. It may not be just like we imagined it ahead of time, but it can be a win in the long run if we find God's direction. If we're worshipers, if we're meditators, if we don't quit, if we encourage ourselves in the Lord, our God, and keep moving forward, then we can pursue and expect good things to happen. Overtake. The implication there is we're moving forward. We haven't quit. It means to reach, to take hold upon, to be able to secure, to have enough, attainment, achievement, procurement. And it really is, in a sense, it's the completion of pursue. Think about these scriptures. I'm going to just read them quick, and you can look them up if you want to. Isaiah 35:10 says this, And the ransom to the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy in their heads, and they shall obtain, that should be hearts, I think, everlasting joy in their hearts, and shall obtain, they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. They shall obtain, that's the same word as overtake. As we're moving forward in God, as we're finding his direction moving forward, we're going to overtake some things. Some good things, praise God. In this case, joy and gladness and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Galatians 5:1, in the contemporary English version, Christ has set us free. This means we are really free. Now hold on to your freedom and don't ever become slaves to the law again. Hold on, praise God. Keep moving forward. Take hold of what belongs to you. And recover all. We, you know, there's a sense as far as the children of God are concerned that we need to be content but not satisfied. Content but not satisfied. I can serve God where I am. Everything might not be right. It might be a difficult day, but I can keep serving God where I am. I'm content. But not satisfied. Not satisfied in the chair, not satisfied not being able to pay the bills, not satisfied with a relation, not satisfied until the plans of God for my life come into manifestation. Content, godliness with contentment, Paul said, is a good thing. It's a blessed thing, praise God. But contentment is not satisfied. Contentment is, I can keep serving God. I'm not going to give up just because things are rough. But We pursue, we overtake, and recover all that belongs to us. In the name of the Lord our God, praise God. In Exodus chapter 3, the last scripture, verse 22, children of Israel getting ready to finally leave the land of Egypt, as God said. And it said, but every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing, and shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, and so shall you plunder the Egyptians. Now, what the backstory is on all that is, the Egyptians had not paid them their wages. The Egyptians had not given to the children of Israel what belonged to them for a long time now. They were there 400 and some years. In the last years had been really bad years. The Pharaoh at the time was not one who knew God. So he made things rough for them. But in the end, they got all their wages all at once. And their wages, they took them out with them in the wilderness, and they were able to serve God and able to build a tabernacle and all those things because God saw that they were taken care of. In a sense, they were pursuing, overtaking, and recovering all. So it's worth it to encourage yourself in the Lord. It would be nice if we got a pat on the back when we needed it, but I can pretty much guarantee you there's going to be times when you don't. So you be an encourager, and not only for yourself, but be an encourager of the people around you. Amen? Praise God. That's worship.